Welcome to Between Our Sundays.
This is Kenny.
And this is Chrissy, where we share real life with real people while serving a real God. Welcome to episode 6. Today is January 15th, 2025.
A new year has come to us, and we are glad to be here in this new year with you.
Yes. So much has happened over the last couple of weeks. It's only been 15 days into the new year, and we have had quite a lot of accomplishments.
We have. So when we ended our last episode, we kind of shared with you that we were going to embark on a journey together and a marathon, and it's really more than that. It was 4 different races over 4 days. It was a 5K, and then the next day was a 10K, and then the next day was a half marathon, and then the next day was a full marathon.
And if you aren't familiar with all that mileage, it was 48.6 miles.
Which over. Only an insane person would try to bite that off with, I don't know, we trained super hard this year for that event. And by hard, I mean, I don't know that we did any at all.
Hey, speak for yourself, because I did... Put some mileage in.
You put
in.
Some miles on. I did not. I went straight and just put one foot in front of the other.
But we were joined by 8,000 other crazy individuals that also took on this dopey challenge.
We did. And it was really, yes, was it hard on the body? Absolutely. Day to day, you felt the miles increase and the weight on your legs and the weight on your feet. But it was really a testament of a mental challenge. It was a process of going through and thinking about what was to come the next day and the mileage doubling day and day and day over until the end. And then if you add on top of that, I think we both spent probably the better part of 2 or 3 weeks looking at the weather over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And for those not familiar, this was done down in Central Florida in the Orlando area, which we know to be typically warm.
We've done these races before, so we're no newbie to Orlando weather and rain and cold and wind and...
But this was going to be a particularly cold weekend, a Thursday through Sunday, and on top of that, the rain was there too. So we had a lot of mental gymnastics to go through leading up to, a lot of stressors, a lot of environmental factors, a lot of question marks.
And a lot of preparation, because we live in the South for a reason. That cold weather junk can just stay up north. You know, we don't do... subarctic temperatures, and that's what they felt like at 1 o'clock in the morning when you're sitting in a corral. I mean, I guess it wasn't one, it was technically 3 a.m.
Still early, still cold, still wet. Mm-hmm. And if it's not hard enough sometimes to bite off some of life's tasks, when you add other factors in that make it less optimal, it begins to mess with your mind. It begins to take the plan that you had in place and some of the things that you've maybe mentally conquered, and now makes you second guess, why am I sitting here right now? Why am I subjecting myself to 30 degree weather with minimal clothing on? Because let's be honest, when you get into a workout, you don't need your sweats on anymore. You need to be in your athletic attire, but that stuff's not warm enough to go out and do exercise. So like your mind's going through this process of, I have to have all of these things on me. I can't carry anything with me. The distances are long. Like it just keeps stacking and stacking and stacking. And it took a lot of agility of the mind really to get the body just to comply with what we were going to do.
Well, you had to plan and prepare for each different segment of the challenge. So the challenge was not just going out and on day one accomplishing 3.1 miles. It was, okay, you're going to get up at a certain time, and you have buses that you have to catch at a certain time, and you have corrals that open at a certain time, and then you've got to prepare for that time that you're sitting in the corral and waiting because it's cold. So layering up and being warm and, okay, are we going to toss these clothes? Are we keeping these clothes? Are we tying this around our waist? Disney does great, by the way. Just a plug that all of the items that are thrown on the race course, they come behind us and collect them and donate them to charity after they've washed them and cleaned them and gone through them and all that kind of good jazz. So that's a really cool, really cool piece of the Run Disney family is they're always looking to give back. So,
and then let's not talk about the end of the line, the people that chase you at the end, because this isn't just keep moving forward until your body gets to the end of the race. There's a time that you have to get this done. They have the roads open through a certain portion of the day or the morning, and they have to close those for traffic to come through. So you have to move at a certain speed in order to even complete the course. Otherwise, they scoop you up, put you on a bus, and take you to the end, and you don't get to complete the race. And so part of our mental work through that, again, another stressor, if the environment wasn't enough for us, if the distance wasn't enough for us, it was, I can't slow down. I have to start at a particular pace and continue. That means that when I've got to go to the bathroom and, again, share a bathroom with 8,000 plus people, or in some courses, 14,000 plus people.
There was one race that I think it had, I think the half marathon was the largest other than the 5K, but the 5K wasn't timed. So we didn't have, I mean, it was quasi-timed, but not like the other races. But I think there was 19,000 people.
The point being is that you're not going to get in and out of a bathroom. You've got 5 to 7 minutes, you know. And
I mean,
and
you could have stopped at the porta potties along the way, well, too. I mean, that's a whole nother mental game in itself, which I don't do porta potties. So
yeah, your skin touches the plastic. Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's
and it's dark and no porta potties for me.
No porta potties.
No.
So at the end of the day, here we are, we're doing these things in and out. And as Chrissy and I got to spend the week together going through these grueling things, we really started to see some life parallels that were coming through as we were going through each and every day's prep, in that there are things that you can control, there are things that you can't control, and there are things that you have to accomplish as you do life in order to continue moving forward. And sometimes the things that you're moving forward in are going to be painful. Sometimes it's going to be tough and rough, but there's a finish line in that. And I really think as we got to share in some of these experiences together, it was amazing just to get to talk about the way that life and spirituality and our Christian walk mimics the idea of a marathon.
Right. I think there was a lot of mental accomplishments over those 4 days. There was a lot of confidence. I think I personally have gone through life not being confident in any of my abilities. Now, to most people who know me, probably could be shocked by that, but I'm probably one of the least confident people. And that is just, that's the perfectionist side of me. Like, everything has to be perfect and I want it all to look great and I want it to be, I put off this strong atmosphere, but inside the mental gymnastics are very extreme. And I think preparing for this race, I knew that I was going to be okay for the first three races. I knew that I was okay for
other distances that you've already done before.
Exactly.
So you had mentally you had already conquered those, so you knew what was
exactly
coming into it. So it wasn't that the stress wasn't there, it wasn't that the pain associated with them wasn't there, but at least you knew, hey, I know my body already has an associated finish line with this.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. So I knew that those were attainable. Hard, especially the half marathon side, because I've not gone beyond the mileage of a half marathon. So at 13.1 miles is a lot of mileage. And we're talking 3+ hours being out in an exercise mode. I knew that I was going to be okay for those and finishing. But that marathon really had me worried. I didn't know. I didn't know if I was going to finish. I knew that I was going to listen to my body. Backing up to last year, we were both registered to do this same exact insane challenge last year. And you wonderfully completed the Dopey Challenge. And I chose not to start the marathon, and it was the right choice.
It was
then.
The right choice. Yeah.
I was only a few months off of surgery, and, the ability to stay hydrated and to stay fueled. I just don't know that physically.
But the right answer still caused you a lot of mental anguish in knowing that you came there to do something and you didn't. Even though you chose, even though we both can agree, and anybody that within that moment can agree that, hey, this is not a healthy decision mentally or physically for that distance that year, it did not take away that mental defeat that I'm here for a purpose. I've been put in line to do this, and yet I'm not now.
Right.
You know, and how does that translate in life so many times? It's like you get queued up for something, and in your mind, you're like, I'm supposed to do this. Right. I've been made to do this. And then you get to the starting line, and you say, I'm not ready for this. I can't
but
do
maybe,
this yet.
And maybe sometimes God comes in and is like, whoa, 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 this isn't the right time. You are not prepared spiritually. I have not prepared you for what that is and what is to come.
That's an excellent correlation, because it's like you could go ahead and start, and he could let you start,
right?
Only to find out that you're going to fall flat in the middle of it and be even more defeated on top of being injured now, because he has the obvious spiritual foresight to say, you're not ready yet. Right. I'm going to detour you right now and just say, hey, let's pause for just a second until we can get all of the other ecosystems in play, spiritually and physically, even sometimes.
And I think mentally I could have gone into that race, and because I'm hard-headed, I could have probably attempted to do that race. But truth be told, I was 3 months post-surgery, so my body was still healing from a massive, massive body change. So who's to say that 26 miles on my body, and let's be real, that half marathon got cut in half that year because of bad weather. So I not only, I did a 5K, I did the 10K, which was 6 miles. And then on half marathon day, that should have been 13 miles, only ended up being 7 because of the course being cut short. So I did complete up to those marks, but to jump into that 26 miles, no matter how much preparation I had mentally or how much I thought mentally I could do it, I knew my body was not physically able to do it. But yes, it was defeating, because I'm a put me to the task and I'm going to do it kind of person. And I really wanted to, but I knew it was the right answer. And I think God brings us through really challenging situations sometimes, because he's teaching us, he's teaching us something. We may not know what it is in that moment, and it may be sad and it may be defeating, but then we sign up again a few months later, and here we are, 2024, preparing for 2025. And while I don't know that training necessarily was what I didn't train like I wanted to, but I did get some good mileage in, and I did get some good moments of putting some heavy miles on my feet. I feel like God really, really moved in the mental department over these last few days. Yes, physically we accomplished the challenge, which is amazing, but the mental part of it, I genuinely found a place of peace in this challenge, a place of just contentment and success, confidence. Not that I'm going to ever be an Olympic runner, but I found a joy in what we were doing. It wasn't just going out and accomplishing this challenge because I had to. It was a moment
I got to
in that half marathon. The first half marathon was I shocked myself. I surprised myself in the amount of endurance and mental fitness that I had throughout those 13 miles and pushing myself up through the last mile. Now, do I think I can push myself more? Absolutely. But what I accomplished and what I did in that half marathon, I was super proud of myself. Going in to the marathon, the first half of that, so for the first half marathon on Sunday, so we're in our last race, I actually clocked a faster half marathon on marathon day than I did the day prior.
Every day literally got faster.
It did.
Which is not the norm. Like if you think about doing repetition or exercises, there's usually a decay in your body's performance. And somehow or another, a 5K on day one got faster when we did it on day two. A 10K on day two got faster on day three. A half marathon got faster in the final. Right. Like it just kept getting faster. And again, I do play some of that up to a lot of the people that are around you, and we're going to go into that in a minute. But also, it was really the agility that you were continuing to build. It's like that boost of confidence from the day prior. It's like, oh, I'm not going to let that time beat me today.
Right.
But I got some more fuel in the tank.
In those big races, yes, you're absolutely correct. But I think it's worth noting that we knew the challenge ahead of us, so we throttled our bodies from day one to day four. So day one, the 5K, I've got a 5K route here in the neighborhood. That's the normal route. That's the normal distance. So I wasn't going to push my body to a point of exhausting it, knowing that over the course of 4 days, we were going to be expending a lot of energy. And there was no sense in putting that stress on my legs and on my feet to just be more exhausted the next day. So we were very conservative. I was not looking to make any personal bests, or I can do that here in the neighborhood. I'll go out, which I'm pretty confident that I can go out and get a pretty good 5K time right now because my body just feels amazing. So we conserved ourselves. We were very cautious, and me anyways, were very cautious in how I was treating my body and preparing for each challenge to come. And isn't that really cool how God brings us through different trials in preparation? And it's like, okay, we're going to teach you. I'm going to bring you through this, but I'm preparing you for the next day. So just hold back a little bit. Don't go guns a-blazing right now. Like, just throttle yourself.
Well, it's a very unique way that I think we can look at, even not to detour the conversation too much, but ministry in general. When you're talking with people, you know, there are two very ends of the spectrum. There is, I can go at a sprint at you with the J card, and you're going to hell if you don't get saved, and that is a technique. And there
screaming
are plenty
the,
of people that do it, right?
Screaming on the street corner. Yeah,
or we
yeah.
can show a little reservation and allow the long game to play out and say, let me just come into this with a little bit. Let me give you some small wins on the way to the big win. And by we, so, I don't mean we as in us as humans, no. but God gives those small wins.
Yeah.
So that's a very good parallel, I think, to
kind of like discipleship and how you approach.
You're not ready to eat
people.
The whole thing at one time. So
absolutely.
You break it up in little bitty things, but not to detour what you were going on there. But
so I just think that each and every day leading up to the next race, we were and approaching our approach to each race was not, I'm going out here to be number one. My goal is to finish, but I wanted internally to better myself. So each time it was better. Now mile 14 of the marathon, and my body hurt from my shoulders to my toes. And I say toes because I'm going to lose a toenail. Like from mile 14 to mile 26 on that day was a complete mental challenge. But we'll get back to that. I think the preparation in each day, something that I thought about even as I was pondering on all of this growth over the 4 days was something we did this time that we don't normally do on our races is recovery. Recovery is something that we have never really, we've not put a lot of emphasis in. And here we go and we accomplish the task, we accomplish the goal, we win the race, whatever that goal is, whether it's a time, whether it's a distance, whether whatever our challenges that we have set out to do for ourselves, we accomplish it. And then after, we would just normally go back to the room, we would hang out, we'd become stagnant, we would maybe go to the parks and overdo ourselves, or whatever the case may be, we never took the time to recover. And how much do we do that in our spiritual walk? We pray for things, we ask God to bring us through situations, we ask God to help us and hold our hand. But then once we get to that point,
we get that finish line and then we stop.
And then we stop.
And then we forget about all of the spiritual battle that we were doing to get to that point.
Right.
And it's like, I had to fight. I had to pray through this. I had to work through this. Right. I had to wait patiently. Now God gave it or granted it or allowed it. And then it's like, oh, that God thing goes to the back burner now. And it's like,
there's no thankfulness. There's no worship. There's no recognition and acknowledgement to our Heavenly Father who brought us through that. And I feel like recovery is us saying thank you to our body. Thank you for getting us through that as we're.
But it's also in itself for these repeated events in life's repeated events, spiritual repeated events, or even these races, recovery is actually preparation too.
It is.
Yes. I am down, coming down from one thing and getting my body back to a stable state, but I'm also resetting my body's stable state to get out the door for the next one immediately.
That's
it's
right.
It's like the fight's not going to stop. We knew we had 4 days each and every time. And so we knew the fight was going to continue to come. And if I just fell off the wagon as soon as I got through benchmark one, right, I was already going to come in at a deficit for benchmark number two, and then right, three, and then four. And as you said, I mean, we had medicines that helped us. We had stretching that helped us. We had devices and salt baths and all the things. And we right, were very diligent in targeting the things that we knew holistically that were going to take care of the parts and the pieces and right, the muscles, not just because today was hard, but because tomorrow was actually going to be harder.
Right.
And yes, that recovery is something that I think in life we put on the back burner.
Right.
Yes, recovery, as you said, is a thankfulness for the accomplishment of the task that was just gone, but it's also a form of preparation for the next thing to come.
Right.
That you're most vulnerable when you let your guard down.
Absolutely.
And if you hit that finish line and coast, it's okay to savor the moment for a minute. Absolutely. And for me, that saving that moment was a medal around my neck and then a box of snacks I got to eat. But then I had to stop and go, okay, I can't go all the way through and spend the rest of the day out eating bad and just and having a great day.
Hey, wait a second. We did eight, come back to the room.
Okay-ish.
We came back to the room after the marathon and we rewarded ourselves with a very big pizza.
We did. Absolutely.
I think you had a Coke.
I had a Coke first time in a while.
Yeah.
And it was good.
Yeah. I had my Monster. My Ultra Vice Guava Monster.
You know, there's something else that I can't let go unsaid in this entire accessory, ancillary things that we're going. And on the physical side, the recovery was a huge thing.
Right.
It helped our bodies. But on the spiritual and the emotional side, there were so many people in our life that wrapped themselves around us through this 4-day process.
Oh my goodness, yes.
And two of those that I'd like to just mention by name for Eric and Crystal, that are some very dear friends of ours, that so many of you guys did track us, and thank you for that. And not mentioning you doesn't mean that we didn't see it or the text that we're gone through. I mean, yes, thank everybody so much. But
yes,
but for these two, It was a consistent effort on them that was not solicited. It wasn't something we had even asked for. It was that mental and that spiritual vision that somebody else could see from the outside looking in that says, somebody needs something right now. Somebody mm-hmm. needs a friend in this. Somebody just needs a pop-up that says, I see you. I see you. Keep going. You're almost there. And my goodness, when we surround ourselves in our life journey, in our spiritual journey, with those that are going to lift you up.
Absolutely.
When they're not in the race with you.
Right.
It is sometimes the only thing that gets you through.
Yes.
Sometimes it's the only push that you needed. Sometimes your body could have been the most trained in the world, but having that little bitty prick of somebody else that sees you in that moment.
That's right.
My goodness, it made a difference.
And I think sometimes when you're in these places of leadership and you're in these places of when you walk life just knowing that God's got you and you've got this outward appearance of confidence, a lot of people look at you and see you've got it all together. You've got it. I don't know that a lot of people see the vulnerability in ourselves, like, and what our friends gave to us over those few days was, I see you, I see you. And I don't know that we have in our lives, we have had very few people in our walks that have been a part of our lives in that way. So it was super special to, and encouraging, like, we've got it. We've got this cheerleading team. Because truth be told, when you're going through these races, mentally speaking, I commend whoever trains, prepares, and attends and accomplishes this challenge by themselves. Because I don't know that I say I don't know. I mean, I would find the way to push myself through, but the emotional roller coaster, especially on marathon day, it would be really hard to do that by myself. You were right there by my side dealing with my emotional roller coaster, because there were moments of like, I've got this, yes, celebrating, and then it was like, run faster.
Apparently run faster is not something you're supposed to say in a marathon to your spouse.
After mile 14, no.
After mile 14.
No, it was not.
Strike that. So if you're out to tempt it and you're going to go out there, just remember past mile 14, run faster is off the table.
No, it was not. But we went through these points of the course and there were all of these people cheering on their family and their friends. And I had a charity bib and I ran for a Running Passion, which is a group out of the Northeast who provide running shoes and just the ability provide the opportunity for kids who can't afford to run track or cross country. They provide the resources to children to be able to run. So it was really awesome. I'm excited and glad that I got to fundraise and knowing that I was investing in their program. So there's a lot of charities that have charity bibs through these events. So their teams volunteer to come out and cheer the racers on. There are families with their kids, and man, it brought me to tears so many times. Little kids with the big signs that and the handprints that, you know, pound here for a power up. Like, I did all I could do to get every kid sign that they were out there cheering us on. It was so special to have that encouragement and to be surrounded by a group of people who all have the same goal, and it's to finish. Because at the end of the day, we all are getting the same medal. We all are winning the same reward. And is that not what our spiritual walk is? We are all looking to go to heaven, and we want to bring everybody with us.
Do you think that's
us?
What heaven will be like?
Yes.
A crowd of people cheering you as you walk through the gates, like, you made it. You got here.
Yes.
I know your race was long to get here. I know it took some dark roads along the way, but here you are.
Right.
And look at all of these other people. God used you to get to two.
And that's this racing community, when so many people ask us, you know, or think that we're crazy for doing this, like, it is genuine encouragement. The people that I've spoken to, there was a lady who is a perfect dopey. So 20 years, this lady had to have been in her 60s or 70s. And she has been doing the dopey challenge, which is the half marathon and the marathon. So 13.1 miles and then 26.2 miles. And she's a perfect goofy racer. So this year was the 20th year. So to speak to this lady on the course, and then the gentleman who had a 95 marathon, it's a 1995 marathon jacket on. I thought this man had done 95 marathons. No, I sparked a conversation with him, and it was like 357 marathons.
He was in his 80s.
He was much older than us. Like, it was such an encouragement. So when I think about our walks with God and our family that surrounds us, the wisdom of the people who have gone before us and have the experience and the endurance to walk their races, to run their races, or whatever speed, we're all going to the same finish line, but it's encouraging at each and every benchmark and place to see the special needs people on the course, that it's the families that are running the wheelchair athletes and the roll athletes that can't even walk, and they're out in their equipment, and they are running their race figuratively in their equipment, whatever that may be. The ones that are on scooters with broken feet and broken legs. And it's like, wow, the amazing community of people that just want to run this race because they love it.
But in that same context, you know, tying this back to something you said earlier about discipleship, sometimes the push you need is not a pearl of wisdom. Sometimes the push you need in discipleship or discipling those that are around you is others seeing the things that you have been able to accomplish despite the junk that you've been through.
Mm-hmm.
And then in those conversations, like, holy cow, man, you're 80 and you've done 300 plus of these things. Well, I'm not 80 and I haven't gotten close to that. That's an inspiration just for me being right. I know nothing about you,
right,
but just having that demographic or that statistic now gives me a boast of confidence. And it's like in discipleship and spiritual, it's the same way. It's like, wow, you fell that far and you're still here.
Right.
You guys made it as a married couple through an affair and you're still, you know, looking at each other. You're like, those are the things in when we sharpen each other through that, that's how that whole small group process works. That's how that whole, you know, discipleship piece works, is it's not, hey, let's open the Bible and let's go through a verse that's maybe going to help us today. Yes, absolutely. Those are wonderful things in feeding your spirit, man. But sometimes you also just need to have interactions with other human beings and say, I see you. I see what you went through. And if you did it, I can do it.
Right. And relating to people on that level of, and seeing the person who has done 20 goofy challenges, you have come out and you have endured all of the obstacles 20 years in a row. 20 years. You, whether it is cold, whether it is hot, whether it is raining, whether it does not matter what the uncontrollable conditions are around you, you have chosen to run this race.
Well, it was something that we said to ourselves over and over again. I don't have to do this. I get to do this.
Right.
You know, and it was such an amazing, because if we really start to analyze, as many people as we saw, even with their own physical challenges that were still moving through it, there were probably a million times more than that couldn't, due to whatever their life circumstance was. And so knowing where we were and seeing other people, this was not, I have to be here. This wasn't, there were, I mean, yes, I complained about some things because it was cold or it was wet or it was not optimal.
But just kind of as context, we did stand, you stood, I sat in a corral for an hour while it misty rained and winds that were like 13 miles an hour. And we were trying to stay warm and dry.
Neither of those things happened.
I run in my running shoes with no socks. That's how I've trained. For the first two races, I did put socks on because the temperatures were in the 30s. So I did wear socks. But on the third day when it was raining and it's half marathon day, I was not putting socks on. So here I am doing everything I can to try to keep my feet dry. It was a mental challenge. I sat there balled up on the ground trying to keep the rain off of everything and questioned.
And sometimes you just have to hunker down in the suck.
Yes.
Sometimes you got to know this too shall pass. Yeah. You know, we say that in jest sometimes, but it is a real life statement. Sometimes you got to know I'm in the storm right this second. It's going to pass through.
Marathon morning. We're doing the same thing on the opposite end. It's so cold again. So we have 60 degree weather on Saturday, which was half marathon day. So day three, we have 60 degrees that it gets up to. That was the high, but it was in the 50s while it was raining and windy and cold wind, cold rain. And then the next morning, we're back into the low 40s, and there's some wind that wasn't really predicted. So we are covered up in throwaway fleece blankets that we had gotten at Walmart for like $3, and Mylar. If you don't know what Mylar is, it's
tinfoil.
It's
an emergency blanket.
It is, yes. So we had multiple sheets of Mylar that we are trying to cover the top of us, cover the bottom of us. It was cold, and I was really, I can very vividly remember being hunkered into my little igloo of Mylar, trying to just close up any crevice that cold air could get in, and questioning why I'm doing this. Why am I doing this? And in that moment, if I allowed my mental thought process to go negative, if I allowed Satan to come in and defeat me mentally already, I would have lost that race. And if I had in that moment said, I don't want to do this, because it crossed my mind.
So I kind of love the visual that you're painting here. I got to see it personally, but you know, to see you in your little turtle shell of Mylar. Again, Mylar is a reflective material, and its entire purpose when it was built for space was it keeps heat in. It doesn't let anything out. It keeps it all in. So when you cover yourself with it, it basically continues to retain your body's heat, and it keeps your ecosystem at the normal temperature that you're in. So as you're hunkered down and you have that in there, you're creating a warm little bubble around you. It's very small. You have to keep it tight to you, but you're keeping the goodness in now. You're not letting the environment outside affect your internal ecosystem. And how much of a spiritual parallel is there that sometimes in the storm, you got to take God's Mylar, our spiritual Mylar that he gives us sometimes, a wrap it around you and say, right now, I've got to keep all the goodness that I can in me. Mm-hmm. I got to keep all of the Jesus inside of me at the moment, because if I don't keep this Mylar close enough to me, the bad's going to come in and it's going to completely change the dynamic of my ecosystem.
Yes.
But there's enough inside of me. I've prepared enough. I have the body heat here. I just need to cover myself in his spirit to get through the storm long enough to hunker down through this. And then on the other side, it's perfectly fine. When the storm has passed, it's perfectly fine. And that day was just as much as true. When the rain stopped, we were able to shed the Mylar. We were dry. Dry-ish, but yeah, dry enough not to worry about. We've been way wetter at some of the other things,
for sure,
you know, without preparation. But it was the perfect temperature for running then. It was the perfect temperature to exist in. And it's like, I made it through. And then when I'm on the other side, now I'm ready for my race.
Right.
You know, and wow, the endurance it takes.
And sometimes that's what we need to do, is we need to hunker down in the spirit. We need to, when we are approaching a challenge, we need to hunker down in our walks with God, in our relationship with God, and we need to get into the Word, and we need to take that spiritual Mylar. We need to take the Mylar of God, and we need to cover ourselves, and we need to have that time, that private internal time to prepare ourselves. And that's what we get from, you know, prayer and being in the Word and just our intimate time with God that grows that relationship with Him, because it's what we need to accomplish that next mission or that next challenge or that next task that He's readying us for.
And it's very true to say in that same level of preparation that the tools that you keep on hand are also super important. Mm. You know, we have learned through multiple iterations of these, something as simple as your shoe choice, yes, can make or break your success in these events. The wrong shoe or the wrong type of shoe, not purpose built for what you're about to do, right, either A, doesn't last or doesn't fit your foot right. Or there's a lot of things that can go wrong in the shoe category. And so sometimes I think the tools that we choose to equip ourselves with, if we're in the Word or in the world, right, whichever one of those two tool bags we choose to grab, makes a difference in how successful we are prepared for the race ahead.
Right.
And that doesn't come right out the gate. Most times you don't see whether that tool is successful or not at the beginning. Right. It's in the endurance in the middle category. You're like, these are the wrong shoes.
Right.
If I'm out hiking, I need a set of hiking shoes. I don't want a set of hiking shoes for a 26.2 marathon.
Right.
It's not it. And right, vice versa. I don't want a pair of high performance running shoes to go hiking in the mountains where I don't have any grip or sole.
Right.
You know, so having the right tools at hand and the only way you figure out the right tools is A, you got to get some races in. You got to get some miles in.
Right.
You know, or whatever event you're doing. And spiritually speaking, it's the same thing. Sometimes you're going to try and you're going to go, why? I was underprepared for that.
Yeah.
And you're going to find the things that work for you and that God places in your life that says, let me give you some tools for that. And truth be told, the Word tells us, I'm never going to send you on a mission. I'm never going to give you a task. I'm never going to put something on your plate that I didn't know that you were able to accomplish or that I have what? Equipped you to accomplish.
Absolutely.
And
I think to branch off on that tool piece, I think sometimes that we can over prepare ourselves for a challenge, a mission. We can have more tools than we need. And sometimes I think So in correlation, what I'm thinking is both of us equipped ourselves with headphones on the race. Okay. We went on half marathon and marathon day with headphones. And it just dawned on me that neither of us used them.
Not one time.
And as I'm thinking about these headphones, it's like, okay, I could have put the headphones in and nothing stopped me from putting the headphones in, but I was enjoying the journey so much, even in my frustration moments, enjoying the people, enjoying talking with other runners, enjoying you and I's communication and us being able to just enjoy together. We never used those tools. And sometimes God equips us with things that we don't use. And it doesn't mean that it's that we're ill-equipped or that we didn't do something right, but those headphones would have isolated me into myself. I wouldn't have engaged in the conversations with other people if I was so internally focused on my race. And yes, I was focused on my race, but it was really doggone nice to do it with tens of thousands of other people. And
so many of those people are only still moving forward because you're moving forward.
For
like,
sure.
Like you're chasing somebody and somebody's chasing you and you have no idea who sees you and continues to move. And the person that you're looking at, it's like, oh, wow, if she can do it, if he can do it.
Right.
Let's keep going. Right. And you and I said that about a billion times. It's like, and that's not meaning that in a derogatory way. It's like, sir, you are twice my age at the year of 80 and you are still moving forward and you are ahead of me at this point.
Right.
So if you're going, I'm going.
Oh my gosh, the little old lady that was speed walking and that kept going faster than us, and then we would jog around her, and then she'd come up faster, and I'm like, man, this woman is moving. She is moving like
marathon.
The inspiration of these people. Now, I don't want to let it go without saying that there's a lot of people who didn't finish the races. There are a lot of people who didn't finish the challenge. And I think that what I have just been in awe with are the amount of people who have admitted and are finding the positive in this wasn't their time to finish the challenge, and they listened to their bodies, or maybe there was an injury and they pushed themselves too much. But guess what? These are all little moments of teaching points that someone they can use to inspire someone else to continue on this journey. You don't give up just because you didn't finish right here. You don't give up and not do it again. You continue to push harder, and you continue to use these moments as points of inspiration for others. And isn't that just what our testimony is?
But I think we tend to grow more in the valleys, in some of the failures. And again, we're not targeting failures as in, I can't wait for my next screw up so I can learn a lesson. But when you do have something that falls short, like it is a point, there is still something that comes of that. God wastes nothing.
He doesn't.
He wastes nothing. And then when you can take a moment of defeat or a moment of failure, and as part of this, by the way, a failure still requires the same recovery that a success does. Your body doesn't need less recovery or less preparation because you fell short.
Absolutely.
So when we get these,
may need even more.
Exactly. So in these moments, it's like knowing that nothing is wasted. You learn about your environment. You learn about you. You learn about your spirit. You learn about your journey. And I think when we tear that open a little bit and we allow God to fill in the holes,
right,
and really honestly say, okay, I did not get to the finish line on this. God, show me why. Show me where. And if we're genuinely open to that perspective, man, he moves through us in some ways that would not have otherwise been seen had we got to the finish line.
Absolutely. On the other side of that, I wanted to make one final note as we wrap up here. Celebrate your successes. And I say that because that is something that I don't do. I don't celebrate the wins because I don't like the attention to be on myself. So I don't know that I celebrate myself enough. And this challenge, it took me a minute. But as we went to the parks Sunday, did we go to the park Sunday? No, we didn't. Yes, we did. We went to Magic Kingdom and took some pictures Sunday night and had dinner. I wore my medal proudly. The challenge medal that said 48.6 miles, you've won. Throughout my life, it's almost like every time I won, it wasn't good enough. It just wasn't good enough within myself. For some reason, there was an inability to celebrate the win in whatever it was. Graduating from college, getting a GED, whatever successes may have come throughout my life, it's almost like this inability to be happy for myself and to celebrate that success and to hear, I'm proud of you, to hear, you've got this and you did it and you're a beast and you finished this task that you accomplished this challenge. Like, why is it so hard for us as humans to celebrate ourselves?
And it doesn't take away from your humility.
Right,
to have right. a moment of sitting in the wind, in the finish line. It doesn't make you less humble, you know, because the other end of that spectrum is boasting, and that's not what you're right. not like, look at me. That's not it.
Right.
It's just a moment of humility to say, I got this one.
And I did it.
I got this one, you know.
And that boost of confidence, like, It's almost like I've not known how to accept that confidence in myself. And this challenge really changed my mental perspective and building my confidence. I've always known I could do hard things. Like, it's just, this is what you do. But like you said, there's that line between being humble and being cocky. And I'm always so worried about going on to the cocky side that I'm almost, I think, too humble in the sense that I don't allow myself to celebrate my wins. And this time I did, and I proudly wore that medal, and I proudly went into the parks the next day and wore that medal. And I just want to say to anyone that celebrate your wins, celebrate your successes, even if it's just the littlest of success. And maybe it's just getting through a day that was really
hard. Sometimes it's just the start. Sometimes the success is in nothing less than I got moving.
Right.
Sometimes that in itself is the success, is I started this today.
Absolutely.
And you and I both know that we both struggle probably in the ADD category too much, that we will shift and we almost become, we get nothing done because we got so busy thinking about how I was going to get through all these things and pitter patter, that we, at the end of the day, we got nothing done.
Right.
So many times it's not a marathon. Life in itself is already a marathon.
Right.
But sometimes it's just getting to the starting line and going, right, I took the first step.
Right.
That is a success in itself.
Right.
You know, and your race is truly your race.
Yep.
You can look at other people for inspiration. That is absolutely. But if you begin that comparison of, I'm not as fast as this guy or that gal, it's going to creep into defeat real fast.
Absolutely.
There's always somebody faster.
Yep.
That's not how to live your life, at looking at that way. Looking at how you are addressing this and focusing in your race, in your marathon of life, in your spiritual journey with God, that is your measure of success. And He sees you as successful. The minute you were accepted, the minute that you put Him in your heart, you won the race.
Right.
You became a child of God. So just understand how the King sees you as His child.
Right.
And know in that moment of confidence, celebrate that win, like you said.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This marathon has just been a great experience for us. I know future podcasts, I'm sure we're going to share a lot of really awesome things that I think Kenny and I have in the works. And we've really been pondering the growth for us both during this marathon challenge. Mentally speaking, both of us have really just been open with each other about mental health challenges and some of the things that we have both struggled with, and some things we want to do to be a part of combating mental health issues in the future, whether it's, you know, kids, adults, whatever the case, really being a place of support, encouragement, and just providing opportunities and awareness to mental health in the future. So really excited for some of the things that we have discussed and have, you know, it's the early stages, so not a lot of details yet, but I'm excited where God is taking us. I think He's laid some really amazing things on our hearts as we have been open, and the growth of each of us and how we can share this with each of you guys. So very excited.
Very excited. Well, let's close this episode up with a little bit of prayer, and I have some on my mind, and when I'm done, if you'd like to throw some in there too, we'll do both there. But
okay. Sounds great.
Heavenly Father God, we come to you today in such a place and a space of celebration. Of life celebration, of accomplishment, of just seeing the skills that you give each one of us, and sitting in a moment of realizing that we took another breath today, God, that you gave us another chance at running another race, Lord. And we're so thankful that we get to, and that transition of life of we get to, and the power that comes in the we get to, God. Lord, I pray now for anybody that's running their race, God, when they can't see the finish line yet, maybe it's dark out and they just don't understand. They know how far they've got to go, but they don't know how they're going to get from where they are to the end. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd give them mental agility, that you would give them spiritual agility, God, that you would bless them and give them the endurance. God, I pray for those that maybe have just finished a race, God, that you would show them the points of recovery that they need to get to, Lord, and how they can recover and then prepare for the next race ahead.
Yes.
But I pray for those that are discipling, God, that maybe some of their finish lines will be encouragements for those that are around. Lord, and maybe for some of those that need a finish line, that you will put a disciple in their life to maybe correlate and be a part of, so that they can see what the beauty of your kingdom looks like, and that when God is on your side, all things are possible, God, that you don't put anything in our way that we can't do, God, and we're so thankful for that. Lord, thank you for the patience and the endurance that has come. Thank you for the abilities to continue to move in body and spirit, God, and the freedom of this country that we have to so boldly proclaim these things, that we have a passion that grows in each one of us, God, and that we can share that we do have these freedoms, God, that we have a flag that we stand by, that, Lord, there's so many things to be thankful, God, and thank you for that, and thank you for giving us this opportunity to talk and share our life and our journey and our marathon, our race, with others, Lord, and I pray this in your heavenly name, amen.
Amen, amen.
Well, guys, there's so much ahead. There's continuing to be a growth and a building block in 2025. We can't wait to share what we have.
Yes.
And thank you so much for being a part of our race. Thank you so much for being a part of the things that we are in each and every day.
Absolutely. And stay tuned for our upcoming episodes with our words and our verses for the year
2025.
Goodness gracious. Yes. So until the next time.
Good luck in your race.
Bye.
Bye.